Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 8th of July, and I'm recording at 11 p.m., and that is British Summer Time here in London. Okay, this is the first shorter version for people who are in a real hurry, and so I'll hit the highlights here and then come back and review some of these points. First, does it feel like a perfect storm? Well, it probably does for a lot of people. And I don't need to spend much time talking about the factors that people are concerned about. We've got the Greece uncertainty. I'll mention a few, including the Greece uncertainty. We have the China meltdown we have in terms of its stock markets. We have the flat corporate profits that have been in the U.S. for a while, and a lot of those indices are being challenged. We're in an unfavorable seasonal period. That's, of course, the May through October zone. And really, those are certainly the main points. What's on the other side of the equation? Well, we still have QE coming from the European Union, from the European Central Bank. From Japan, we have low interest rates generally, we have very low inflation, we have low commodity prices, not least crude oil, and we don't have any reason for governments to be really jeopardizing markets in here at this stage, which would be the case if the global economy was warming up and beginning to overheat. Okay, so what's happened in here right now, and where are we in this overall corrective phase and cyclical, which is producing a number of cyclical bear markets, particularly in the emerging market sectors, as you would expect. We are, I think, probably in at least three quarters of the way through this move. It always becomes more dramatic towards the end. Are there any reasons for thinking that things may actually improve? Well, I think we're going to get some sort of resolution of the Greek situation fairly soon, although that's a dangerous, it's been a dangerous forecast here so far. Also, I'm impressed the way China's government is moving to get in and stem the slide in their markets, including throwing a lot of money at them. We may well see a bottom there fairly soon. By fairly soon, I think this month, and Then we're going to look at what's going on and see the dust settle a little bit and say, hey, valuations have improved a whole lot here, and look at the companies that you really like on terms of being quality, on terms of being sector leaders, in terms of having a decent yield, which is well supported. And I think those are going to do well. And you can also look at markets on the same on the same basis. So we're going to have a lot of oversold markets here. And I think that it's an opportunity here. Now, what happened here today? Japan was clipped. It had been one of the strongest holdouts, but the Nikkei 225 down 3.14%. Here, so it's succumbed. That TSE2 second section index also, which was rivetingly strong for months, but now has lost its upside momentum. Additionally, the yen has firmed, so investors won't like that Won't like that so much. It's at 120.59 against the US dollar. China's indices were absolutely hammered in here today. Shanghai Composite down 5.9%, Hang Seng down 5.84%, the China Enterprise down just over 6% overall. Big hits, climactic looking hits on a lot of these stock markets. I think the entire Asia Pacific sector was lower. Not so modest declines for the most part for Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia, New Zealand. Modest, well, under 1% relative to what's going on elsewhere. And if we look at the European indices, which have certainly been in the center of the Greek concerns, they all closed higher in here today. And again, hope springs eternal that we know how hard the EU is trying to come to some sort of acceptable terms with Greece. Well, is that going to happen? I'll talk about that more in the longer version of the audio. And Wall Street. Wall Street is a worry here. The Dow down 1.47, S&P 1.67, NASDAQ 1.75. The Apple share is also soft. And so we could hardly fall over in surprise if Wall Street experienced its first 10% plus correction in several years. That's hardly the end of the world, but it might feel like, well, it might feel pretty bad as it actually occurred. So try to put that all together. The strong markets are being dragged down in here. Now, there's little that has escaped. And or really none appear to be escaping now, but some are very overextended, and not least in Europe, and also China is becoming extremely overextended. The US is not overextended here, and it will be a minor miracle if it's able to hold out in this current environment. So probability of sharper, somewhat sharper declines, and but I'm looking for probability of some significant lows in here this month. Okay, government bonds. That's the weak stock markets revives their safe haven status. 10-year U.S. yield down to 2.19. The VIX, incidentally, which I've been talking about since we entered this corrective phase, up to 19.66. So that looks like it's consolidating and in a position to push higher here over the short term. As far as bonds are concerned, I think this is another chance, and there have been many of them, but this is another chance to get out of bonds if you're not already out of bonds. And why go back into bonds when you can get so much better yields in equities? Another point that I would make is, what's going to happen when we get the next good stock market rally? And we'll certainly see that before the end of the year, and probably a lot sooner than that. And you know what's going to happen. Those bond yields will push up probably above the highs that we saw just a very short while ago. Currencies, U.S. Treasury won't be happy about this. Well, the dollar is actually a little easier in here today. The dollar index at 96.207, and let's see, a few others in here. The euro, it's steady, 1.1072. Sterling, a little easier here, 1.53 7-0. Metals, which have been in free fall recently. We had zinc leading rallies in industrial metals here today. And we let's see, we crude oil a little bit steadier. Okay, precious metals also got hammered early in the day and then firmed up a little bit. But you know, I don't like the sector. Oversold the short term, but not looking so good. Okay. End of the quick sprint through this, although that was a rather lengthy sprint. So I'll try not to abuse you by going on too long here, but let's go back and check on a few of these points. First, I would take China. I think the government has a lot of tools to work with here to really steady its market overall, but I wouldn't be buying the China CSI 300 or the I certainly wouldn't be buying the Shenzhen Composite Index. That's what had the big bubble. Also, I wouldn't be buying the Shanghai A-share Index, which had a moderate bubble. And that's largely deflated. Current P is down to 17.84 and the yield at 1.89, but that's hardly a bargain, is it? So what would I be buying there? And I'd be looking at the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. It's got a current P, according to Bloomberg, of 9.77 and a yield of 3.49. China Enterprise H-Share Index has a current PE of 8.12 and a yield of 3.68. Now, these are pretty attractive, and particularly when you know that the Chinese government is very keen to get this stock market higher, and they have a number of tools to use, not least in terms of monetary policy, which has become more accommodative. And I think they'll succeed and succeed quite soon. I think China's a buy here. And that JMC, that's that JP Morgan Chinese Investment Trust, I looked at that today. I'm gonna have to buy that. I may do that tomorrow. Buy a little more of that. The discount to net asset value was over 23 when I looked at that a short while ago. Now, you might say, well, how can that be actually be so low? Well, markets are emotional, people get frightened. Also, there has certainly been some mainland selling of those Hong Kong indices because, you know, some shares they have not been able to get out of because of liquidity problems or because trading has been suspended and a number of thin issues. And therefore, you know, if you can't sell what you need to sell or want to sell, you sell something else, and I think that's helped to push these Hong Kong indices down to these levels, which I certainly regard as attractive in this environment. Is the Chinese economy going to collapse? I doubt that very much. But you know, some people are saying the opposite. But what I would caution you about is that, you know, if you think back to when you get sharp corrections, let alone bear markets, when those occur, that the news and the sentiment becomes increasingly bearish, right up to and somewhat beyond the low. And that's where we are right now, with really quite bearish sentiment overall. Now, if China has this few too many, well, you'll pick what you feel is right for you. But these European indices are also becoming quite attractive, and you got the guarantee of that quantitative easing that's going to carry on for quite some time. What we need to do, or what Europe needs to do, is to end the uncertainty. I think that will happen this month, as I have as I've said earlier. Now, looking at the currencies and what the Fed's going to do, I think that September's not all that long away, a lot can happen between now and then. If the environment is anything like it is today, I suspect it will be a more optimistic environment by September, even though we're not out of the seasonal difficult period. I think the Fed will be reluctant to raise interest rates. Certainly, that will be the case if the Greek situation is dragging on. I don't think it will. And certainly, if China has not staged a decent recovery. I think slow global GDP growth in the US economy, which is hardly bursting with strength, would probably stay the Fed's hand on those on that rate increase. Which, of course, we're only talking about a quarter of a point, and then to be followed a few months later. And both the gradualist policies the Fed has indicated, I don't see any reason why that outlook should change significantly. Looking at the commodities, good news, this oil price here, and people are saying, well, that's a bearish indication in terms of China's usage of crude oil. Well, China's moving away from that big, heavy metal bashing economy, and it is creating a more of a consumer economy. So they won't be using as much oil, but it's missing the point. The point that's really positive here is that energy costs are lower overall. Now, a lot of that might be taxed away or might be slow to filter through to consumers, but that certainly won't be the case everywhere. And again, the commodity prices are still very cheap. Metal prices are extremely cheap. I think metal prices are too cheap, and we'll pick up somewhat over the next few weeks and months. And in terms of currencies, well, I think the main one here is that this firm dollar is a headwind for the U.S. economy. And the dollar enjoys some safe haven status when people are frightened about most things that are taking place in the global economy, and we see that we have that situation here today. The grains and beans, they may have overdone the wet weather problem. There's still plenty of time ahead for these plantings to be completed and crops to be growing. But the overall likelihood is that we will have a less good agricultural crop results, and that will lift prices somewhat. On that note, all the very best to all of you.